Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
The new world has started. The new Davis Cup. The Davis Cup finals all held in a single week. And Matt, who is over in Madrid, and Catherine, who isn't, and myself, who isn't, but have been watching with interest all day long, are here to talk about it. And it's the first of our daily shows covering the Davis Cup finals throughout this week. And it's just so interesting to see this format tried out for the first time. I think we should go to Matt, first of all, just to get your general impressions, Matt. I mean, you came into the event yesterday. We heard what you thought of the initial setup. We've had virtually a full day, although it is 20 to midnight there, and they are still playing in the doubles in Canada and Italy. But we've got you safely back in your hotel room because we thought, actually, 3 a.m. finish on day one is probably not the best idea. What did you think?
Yes, I was glad that you agreed to my suggestion to call it early tonight. Look, this is day one, so I think we all have initial impressions, but they're by no means set in stone. I'm kind of ready for them to perhaps change throughout the week. But basically, I would say, as in lots of situations, the reality is to be found in some kind of middle ground. It wasn't as bad as the naysayers were kind of thinking, dare I say, hoping it might be. And it probably wasn't quite as good as the tournament organizers were really hoping and thinking that it could be. There were lots of positive aspects, which we can discuss, that did feel like Davis Cup, particularly on the smaller courts. And there were some negative aspects which made you think that maybe they've slightly taken away something from the competition. But, you know, I think it's going to be a compromise and we will see how it develops throughout the week. There was certainly some good tennis on display, particularly in the Italy-Canada tie.
Could we cut straight to the chase and get your review of Alan Walker, please? Tennis can wait, folks.
Poor. in fact,
he's a multi-platinum, multi-talented, multi-Norwegian British man.
I know. I'm not sure I understand the kind of wide-scale popularity of these kind of producer DJs. I mean, as far as I could tell, he was kind of standing there pressing a few buttons. and I mean, the whole opening ceremony, I must say, I thought was a bit misjudged, taking place at 2:30 on a Monday afternoon. I mean, there was just nobody there.
Doesn't matter how good a DJ is, does it, if it's 2:30 on a Monday afternoon?
Yeah, and it was ear-splitting noise. And yet no one in the stadium. All the noise was coming out from the PA. Then they had a parade of the players, which was quite nice and looked quite good once they were all out. But again, it was kind of flat because there was no one in the stadium. And then Mr. Walker came on. And what I did notice is that Diego Schwartzman and Rublev came back out. They'd been paraded, went back in and came back out and sat on one of the benches to to soak up the best of the best of Alan Walker. I left after about 10 minutes. I'd had enough, but yeah, they were loving it.
Springsteen fan, folks. He's got certain standards and certain tastes that are not. What's his name again?
Alan Walker.
Alan Walker. It's not a memorable name, is it? I mean, it's an absolutely fine name, but it doesn't scream to me like international high rolling DJ.
No,
right. But, well, what does?
Well, not Alan.
Okay. Right. Well, just quickly, just to say, the winners of today's matches are who? It was Canada over Italy. It was Russia over Croatia, and it was Belgium over Colombia. Now, the first tennis I saw was turning on a bit of Rublev playing against the Croatian number two. You might have to help me with the name there.
He's called Borna Gojo.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the Croatian number two. I mean,
well, it's the
number
two in this tournament.
I think of Croatia as a nation of great tennis depth.
Well, technically, Čuric is the number two, but he's been promoted to number one because of Čilić out.
Why is Čilić out?
Injured.
Mm. Okay.
And then they seem to have plucked Borna Gojo from the abyss.
I feel like there should be a better Croatian number three than this other Borna.
what was the scoreline in that one, Matt?
Did they get Goran out of retirement?
Yeah. Well, it was straight sets to Rublev. So Goran out of retirement might have done just as well. Actually, quick hardcore, he might have made it a bit closer. I think it was something like 3-3. It was fairly one-sided.
I mean, I did see a little bit of the heart of that match, and my initial impressions when I turned that on was, oh dear, I'm not sure. You know, that there were a lot of people in the stadium, but it didn't sound like I was hoping it would sound, and it was quite dark. That was how it looked to me. I mean, look, I love the colours of the court, the green and the grey. And then I saw your message. You said I've moved over to Canada against Italy, and this feels like Davis Cup. And one of the nice things about the coverage that we've got on Eurosport in the UK, and it's a world feed, is that they're kind of going where the action is. So they're shifting around to where the break points are and all that sort of stuff. And when they moved over to that court, and it was Fanini, wasn't it, against Pospisil, you're right. I mean, it sounded like a Davis Cup tie. It sounded great.
The world feed is great. That's really exceeded my expectations, and it's created a bit of a sort of bonus in terms of my experience of it that I wasn't expecting, which is unlike Davis Cup, Fed Cup that we're used to, and unlike the tennis I've been watching for the last week, there's just one event going on, one match, and all your chips are on that. And if it turns out to be rubbish, then you're out of luck. And I hadn't, but coming into this, I hadn't really quite processed the fact that there were going to be three ties happening simultaneously on three different courts. But that structure, combined with the way the world feed covered it, created a bit of a sort of early rounds of slams feel, which is my favorite period of a slam, when you feel like, oh my gosh, there's just something happening everywhere. I want to keep across it, want to make sure I'm not, you know, not getting any kind of FOMO. And I really, really liked that. I liked that feel that I was just going to be taken wherever something interesting was happening.
Yeah.
And that if there happened to be something a bit rubbish on, that I wasn't committed to having to watch that rubbish thing.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Gojo Borna. I napped through Gojo.
he might be better
and
tomorrow.
And Alan. I napped through Alan and rubbish Borna.
I mean, the best description I have of the atmosphere on the main stadium for Croatia-Russia was like the kind of early round of a tour event with a brass band.
You know, there was a lot of brass band going on.
People were watching, they were engaged, but mainly they were neutral. So I don't think they really had much of a, you know, much of an interest on who was winning. There were then pockets of Croatian support and smaller pockets of Russian support, and they were supporting their team, as you would expect. But in a big arena like that, it's a 12,000-seater, the main stadium, it just didn't have much impact. It wasn't cutting through. And I suppose, you know, thinking about it logically, that probably is what was always going to happen. You were never going to get 12,000-seater filled with supporters of the countries playing. That was, you know, who had had to travel. That just wasn't likely. But what is much, much better is the smaller stadiums where they're 2,000 or 3,000. And even if they're only half full, two-thirds full, they're full of partisan support with drums and trumpets and making such a good noise that it really does feel like Davis Cup. It gives you all the vibes you're looking for. So, you know, thinking long term, perhaps just, you know, a stadium on neutral soil just needs to be slightly smaller and you would get a better atmosphere.
I wonder, I mean, I suspect maybe in the future it might grow and people might get more used to it and find ways to get to these events and want to come to the finals. But I mean, in the short term, I agree with you. And I think I turned on, as I said, a little bit of Fanini and Pospisil, which was won by Pospisil, which is, you know, a heck of a result for him, isn't it? And then I watched most of Shapovalov against Berrettini, which was an absolutely cracking contest. Three tie breaks, ultimately won by Shapovalov. That had pretty much everything as a match. And also it was almost two away teams, yes, in Davis Cup taking on each other. Because they weren't big crowds, but it was like the French crowd at the Fed Cup final, times two, but one on either side. And they were really making a noise, going at each other, and yeah, that was what it's all about. I think we had Shapovalov getting irritated at one point by them hitting a winner and then putting his finger to his ear to say, "I can't hear you," you know, and that's a bold move from him right at the last stages of the match, but he ended up winning. So quite an encouraging sign from him. And yeah, that was the match that I think made me think, okay, well, I feel a little bit reassured having seen that one.
Yeah, that was exactly my take as well, David. I thought that, you know, in many ways, the best thing about old format of Davis Cup and Fed Cup was the away fans, because it always felt like they were there to conquer and they were kind of there to, you know, put their flag down. This is our territory kind of thing. And when you've got two sides doing that, it actually created this really interesting kind of ding dong, both between the players and the fans. And it was really special inside Stadium 2 today for that tie. And yeah, Shapovalov was goading the Italian fans and they were whistling him and he was loving it, Shapovalov. And I thought, you've got to win this match after you've done that, and credit to him because he did. I actually positioned myself closest to the Italian fans, hoping to get some good audio of them in celebration of victory. I hedged my bets and thought Berrettini would take the win. So yeah, very impressed with Shapovalov and indeed Pospisil. They were both clutch in the tight moments today, whereas the Italians weren't quite so.
Are we going to allow clutch, Catherine, on this
podcast?
I've
made a mental note of it.
What's wrong with clutch?
Very Brad Gilbert, Matt.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about it after the podcast, Matt.
I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything at the time, but I did make a mental note.
Yeah. Everybody can go down either estimation, can't they? I've already been admonished by one American listener this morning, actually, for teasing American listeners. So, sorry, everybody from America. We love you.
And the
really.
The other message we got was from a listener in the UAE who was saying that when we mark the pod as explicit, it won't download over there.
So no swearing, Catherine.
said that our dailies became sort of every other dailies.
Splendid. The other matches we had today, so Canada have got a win, Russia have got a win, both of them, were they both, well, we don't know the result of Canada because they're in the doubles, aren't they? But 3-0 to Russia, yeah. And Belgium beat Colombia. Steve Darcy's playing his final tournament? Because he's retiring, isn't he, this
year?
Yeah,
this is his last event, and...
Steve Darcy, isn't it?
Yes. I actually spoke to some Belgian fans today. I wanted to try and get their view on the new format because I know that they were very against it when it was changed. And I was speaking to what turned out to be, I think, the head of some kind of Belgian supporters tennis trust or something.
Ultras.
This is niche, Matt.
I know. And he was saying that they're actually planning a boycott. You know, the Belgian tennis fans were actually not planning to come. And then they realised it was Steve Darcy's final tie. And they thought, oh, well, some of us had better go. So about 100 or so have travelled and, you know, they're kitted out in their usual red and yellow. And
they've boycotted their boycott just for exactly. Steve Darcy.
Exactly. They were saying something quite interesting in that they're actually hoping that Belgium finish somewhere between 5th and 16th in this event, i.e. not get to the semi-finals and not be one of the lowest two teams in the groups. Because what that will mean is that they will then have a qualifier in February and they're hoping that they'll get a home one and they'll be able to go and see Belgium at home like they used to be able to.
I mean, bless them. But
it's very specific.
That feels like trying to... That's. I mean, if they get to the quarters, are they going to stick with that?
Yeah, I doubt it. It does seem, but this it does is seem what a bit short-sighted.
The fans are saying they want, not what the team are saying they want.
Indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
And what Steve Darcy wants after this week will be irrelevant.
I guess.
I mean, maybe he's a captain in waiting.
I think he is. I think he actually is going to become the Belgian Davis Cup captain.
Right. You heard it here first, folks.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking. And I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. You saw, Catherine, the other match, didn't you? You saw the David Goffin rubber as well?
Oh, I saw, well, Matt tipped us off that some classic Davis Cup drama was unfolding on, what would that have been, the third court? Between David Goffin, who is just Davis Cup all over, isn't he? I mean, I kind of think of Belgium as like the ultimate Davis Cup team in a way.
Mm. Which makes me understand why those fans feel the way they do, because they loved it so much, didn't they? I hope they kind of end up enjoying this as well, because if it's not going to change back, you know, I mean, maybe it will, but if it doesn't, you don't want to have them lost from the competition forever. But you're right. I think that they were an amazing host in Ghent and just created the best atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, they've always performed above their players always seem to perform above their ranking, right? They defy the odds on paper. They're greater than this. They always seem to be greater than the sum of their parts, Belgium, which is kind of the point of Davis Cup, whether a team can be greater than the sum of their parts. So Matt tipped me off that David Goffin was in action against Galan.
Yes. Daniel.
Daniel Galan of Colombia, who I know were one of the nations that were just chuffed to bits to be at these Davis Cup finals. And I tuned in, I think it was 3-3 in the third. Mm. Goffin eventually winning through. But just really lovely tennis. I thought the speed of the court looked just right to create sort of nice, pleasing, watchable rallies, but rewarding aggression. Just nice to see the David Goffin backhand down the line firing. It was all just sort of nice, really. It was nice to watch. And it was very Davis Cup.
Kind of sums up David Goffin, doesn't it, really? Nice.
Yeah, I know. Nice I realise I'm completely nice damning him with faint praise here. I really did enjoy it.
Excellent. Okay.
But you know what I mean? Just love smooth, you know, nice. It was nice.
So they won anyway. Belgium won. They're off to a winning start. Nice start. That was the match in which we had the first entertaining Twitter exchange of the day, because Philippe de Wolf, a former Belgian player who was a French Open semi-finalist and is now a journalist in Belgium, he's in Madrid. And I think he tweeted, you know, it's a shame there are only about 15 people in the stadium. To which Gerard Piqué, international Spanish footballer and owner of the entire Davis Cup by Rakuten these days, replied to him and said, doesn't look like that to me. And he posted a picture of a lot more people. So on and on it went. And then we had Elise Cornet, French Fed Cup player, replying to Gerard Piquet to say, clearly you've never been to a real Davis Cup tie.
Why is Elise Cornet involved?
Well, you know, I guess she's passionate. But I did find it quite interesting that the first line of defence was Gerard Piquet.
Do you think he has Twitter alerts set up for a certain combinations of words? So Davis Cup crowds, Davis Cup stadium full, Davis Cup stadium empty. He must do,
well,
right?
Well, put it this way, Catherine. A few months ago, he started following me, which I was not expecting. And I was one of a number of journalists that I know that he began following. So on Twitter.
Are you feeling left out, Matt? Because I am.
I am feeling quite smug. I can't get any Albion players to follow me, but
that's
I've
annoying.
Managed
I've
Gerard
met the
Piquet.
Bloke.
He's got 19.2 million followers, so he's quite a good sort of person to spread the word in terms of sheer number, the element of numbers. But I mean, I did think when he did that, do you really want to start getting involved in this? I don't think that's the smartest thing to do, to be quite honest.
And I think one of the problems, rightly or wrongly, that some people have with the new Davis Cup is that Pique, a footballer, is involved and the one kind of pulling the strings. Lots of people have taken against that. And I think him, you know, getting himself involved, you know, being slightly overly defensive on day one is not exactly setting the right tone, I don't think. And then the official Davis Cup Finals Twitter retweeted him as though, you know, they were kind of endorsing that kind of exchange about it. I didn't think it was a great look, really.
Yeah, I mean, from Pique's position, I can understand why, given that it's sort of his baby and all of his team are on it, you know, you're going to get defensive, I suppose, emotionally, if you see people saying things you don't agree with. But I don't know why, you just don't do it. Just get through the thing and hopefully prove everybody wrong. That's how I'd be trying to do it, without saying too much, because it's just going to get into a face-off, isn't it? People are going to come at him.
It just opens him up too much, I think, because look, there are going to be matches, ties that are going to be a bit empty, and I think they rather need to go in with the approach of sort of saying that's okay, you know, at really successful tour events, you wouldn't necessarily expect three large stadium courts, or one really large one and two smaller ones, to be complete sellouts on all days of a tour event. So yes, I think the discussion about crowds is relevant, and crowds are particularly important for Davis Cup. But equally, being hyper defensive at the first suggestion that crowds aren't up to scratch, it is not helpful, because I think there probably will be matches that are slightly disappointing on the crowd front.
Yeah. It's going to be a mixed bag, isn't it, really? You know, they will hope to win people over as they go. That's the way I would approach it anyway, especially given what they've come into this week with in terms of backdrop. I mean, obviously there has been a big build-up of a lot of people who like the original format, and you're not just going to be able to sort of slap them down. They're going to have to be convinced, or maybe they won't be convinced at all. You know, that's the way it is. So in terms of things that were good today, certainly, as you said, the TV feed, the service there was really good. The app struggled a bit today, didn't it? The official Davis Cup Finals app, which I'm glad they've got, because it's a good way of keeping up with the live scores, etc.
Well, it would be.
Except when I last looked at it, Berrettini was playing Berrettini.
Yes, the Canadian Berrettini was better than the Italian Berrettini today.
Which is what Shapovalov's known as in Canada these days, I'm told.
It was as though they had decided on about Friday, oh gosh, we'd better make an app. And that was the result. It was a quite slow updating, and then the names were all wrong, and it just wasn't good.
I went on the draws and results section of the app before recording this, just to try and remind myself of exactly what all the results were. And after about 8 hits of refresh, I still was left with the message: the Davis Cup format has changed in 2019. For details of the Davis Cup by Rakuten Madrid finals and Davis Cup by Rakuten qualifiers, please visit daviscup.com. I think an app which directs you to a web page is not fulfilling the function of an app.
I think you were on the old Davis Cup app. Were you on the Davis Cup Finals app, or were you on the Davis Cup app? That's my question.
On the one that you sent me the link for.
Did I send a link?
Well,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, look, it says there. I'm showing David a picture. proving that
yeah.
I do have a decent grip on the use of technology.
This is good radio, isn't it?
Hang on, so there's a Davis Cup app and a Davis Cup Finals app. I am now slightly questioning myself.
Yes, yes.
Well, Catherine, that's confusing in itself, isn't it?
Well, look, what I would say, it's day one. No app works on day one, does it? this one can fit right in. I asked on Twitter our followers for their impressions of today. You know, I mean, look, we've taken some flack as a podcast that's taken some sponsorship by the Davis Cup Finals in the run up to it in order to draw awareness to it and to help with their tickets, etc. And we did that, and it there's no question. You know, there are people have one or two have said, you know, you're not going to be straightforward in what you think about it because of that sponsorship. We know that that's not true, but I understand how it looks. So I've asked anyone on Twitter, what do you think? You tell me. Doesn't matter what you say. We'll just stick it out there. Here's a few of the rundown.
Is that our new policy? Doesn't matter what you say on Twitter, we'll stick it out there. I do not approve of this.
No, I don't mean, I'm not reading them all out. There's about
50 of them. Can we sort for internet dreck, please?
I'm saying that if somebody responds, they respond, and it's on the thread, isn't it?
That is unfortunately how social media functions,
Can I read out the highlights now?
Yep.
Right then, here's Quentin. He says, I'm enjoying it as it is, an opportunity to see great players in the same venue for a few days. Olympics-like situation. I approve. Phil D says, even if I wouldn't be boycotting it due to the circumstances, we've just had 8 days of the best men competing, and I really need a break. So thankful that I don't like the concept anyway. Alexander McClellan says, a confession. I've never watched a Davis Cup tie not involving Great Britain, but today on TV I've watched 3 different ties and will continue to do so all week. The matches have been quality. The atmosphere seems good on TV. I'm excited by the format. Doubles matches higher value as well, which is something that Matt was saying yesterday. Ali says, I don't like the timing of it. Not even a day break after the ATP Finals. I think the Fed Cup in April will be better, but Fanini against Pospisil was a great match with a good atmosphere. It just doesn't feel like Davis Cup yet to me. LV says, I'm just here watching Canada and Italy put on a hell of a show, and I don't care about politics. Go Beavers. Alex P says, why is the doubles last? Which is a very good point. Final one here. Eddie says, I'm giving it a chance. Home and away is clearly a big loss. I prefer best of five like everyone else, but it is the first year and I'm willing to give it 3 years. That's an interesting point by Alex. Why is the doubles last of the three?
I suspect it's because all three matches are played on the same day or the same session even. On the tour, there's a rule that if a player is scheduled for singles and doubles in the same day, they'll never be scheduled to play doubles before singles, will they? The doubles will always be after suitable rest from the singles match. So given that there will be a number of singles players also playing doubles, I suspect that that's the reason. Who are the Beavers?
It's got to be something to do with Canada, hasn't
it? Is it a Canada thing? I don't think Italians are associated with Beavers, are they?
No, probably not.
Good. That was a good spread of views. I do agree. A few days off would have been nice.
It's a lot of tennis, relentless.
It's a lot of tennis, a lot of pods.
I know if we had a break from it, I'd be missing tennis. But
yeah, I mean, we frankly didn't want to be talking to each other today at all, and we're here doing it again. Not really. What we got tomorrow, Matt?
We have got 2 sessions tomorrow, which I'm...
Oh, I thought today was a lot of tennis.
Yeah, I'm already slightly worried about. But yes, morning session is France, Japan, Argentina, Chile, and Kazakhstan, Netherlands.
Is it actual morning? Because Spaniards don't do anything in the morning.
11 o'clock start, local time. By the time they've done the anthems and the presentation, it'll probably be about 11:30. So pretty much afternoon, yeah. And then the evening has got 3 really good matches, I think. Spain, Russia on the main stadium, which I'm interested to see. Mm. I'm interested to see what the atmosphere is like for a Spain tie in that stadium. I think it could be really special. USA, Canada on Stadium 2, which obviously they have a natural rivalry anyway, and Canada will be looking to go back to back and US to upset them. And then a little bit of Nick Kyrgios and Australia on Stadium 3 against Colombia.
Oh. These are good matches.
Yeah.
Tomorrow should be really good.
So I think there's quite a lot in that. And also Team GB are doing their press conference, so hopefully a chance to speak to all of our players, you know, Andy Murray, etc.
Okay.
Talk to Neil Skubsky, who thinks that Brad Pitt would be the appropriate casting to play him in a film.
Yes, he had the piss taken out of him for that answer, didn't he?
Yeah. And Leon Smith opted for George Clooney, so modesty all round in Team GB.
Who should I go for? Next podcast.
Stephen Merchant has been proposed on Twitter.
I wonder why.
Very generous. People meet near us. That's all there is to it. Rightio. Matt, come and get some sleep. You have got a heck of a day coming your way tomorrow in Madrid. So thanks for your company, folks. We'll be back with another one of these tomorrow from the Davis Cup by Rackerton Finals. Day 2, loads of tennis, and it's brought to you in association with The Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com. Our mascot is Rio with a Y. Tell everybody you know about the tennis podcast, because we like speaking to each other every single day. And that's what's going to carry on over the course of this week. See you tomorrow.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.